wanted to title this one, it would be Parenting in the Spirit. But I want to start with what I think is a non-helpful mode of parenting, and that is parenting in fear. And that comes up in all kinds of ways. Maybe, you know, the fear that if I don't protect them, the world's going to get them. Does that make sense? Like, obviously we know we protect our kids, but obviously we also know that they will see the world. And there is a way of protecting your kids that the more you protect them from the world, the more they want to see the world. There's a way of doing that. But usually that's because you're kind of rooted in fear. And one of the most important commands that Jesus gives us is fear not. Okay, we are not, it is so unhelpful to parent out of fear. And then I think related to that is what I would call, I don't know what I would call it, but it's the temptation to think that there's something out there, a piece of information, a book, a technique, that will be the magic bullet in parenting. Maybe even, you know, if I could just get my wife to do X, or if I could just get my husband to do X. So I want to underline, and this is so important, I think, you know, what did Abraham have to parent? He didn't have much, okay? I want to emphasize this. There is no book, and do I like books? I love books. But there is no book that is the magic bullet that will solve your parenting. And I think the idea that there's something out there is almost a kind of an idolatry. There's a data point that if I just had this piece of information or whatever, this is going to solve everything. There's no book. There's no study. There's no technique. None of it. There is no, ultimately, maybe this is what we would say, there is no quick fix to problems in parenting. None whatsoever. Parenting is a 24 plus year long relationship. And it's so easy. I mean, there's so many things about human nature and the culture that we live in that make you think, oh, this book, this idea, this website, this article, this teacher, no quick fixes. Amen? Amen. You already have everything you need. All right? Most of what we need, well, let me put it this way. Everything we need in life has been given to us. Usually it's just a matter of taking what's been given to us and using it. Okay? We have, Paul says, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places given to us through Christ. We have been given, Peter says, everything we need for life and godliness. That includes everything. And you should constantly remind yourself, I have been given everything I need for every challenge God gives me. I just need to learn to appropriate it. So again, as parents, I think if we can be, and I like this phrase, I'm taking it from a rabbi, if we can be non-anxious presences in our children's lives, presences, authorities, but non-anxious, not rooted in fear, not rooted in anxiety, but rooted in God's my father, I'm his son, I'm his daughter, he's given me everything I need. I don't exactly know where to apply what right now, but I know that he's my father, and I know that he loves me, and he loves this child, and that's what I need. So being non-anxious presences in our kids' lives. I think we need to think less in terms of protection. Protection is a stage. It's not the ultimate goal. All right, if you homeschool or you do whatever the things you do only for protection and not with a view towards, your kids will one day see the junk. I mean, my mom will tell you, and she was sheltered back in the 50s and 60s. She went to college, and she was so sheltered that she had to be checked into a hospital because she had a nervous breakdown, all the junk she saw, all right, in college students. Because she'd just been, she was an only child. She was so sheltered from stuff. Your kids are going to see it. you need to think the world needs to be afraid of my kids. Does that make sense? Like, we're sending these kids out to be lights in the world. How do we prepare them to be lights? Protection has a role. But the Israelites came to the land, and the inhabitants of the land were scared of them. Does that make sense? And I think we do that by loving God and delighting in Him so much that our kids are drawn to God by delight, not by harshness. Now, did everybody hear me? I didn't say there's not times when we have to be firm. But what I mean is, if you are drawn to the good, the true, and the beautiful because you delight in it, that is the best thing that will draw your kids to the good, the true, and the beautiful. So you might say, not rooted in anxiety and rooted in fear, but rooted in joy. Rooted in delight in what is good. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, right? If we have, and so, what you love, your kids will love. And they know the difference between, oh, I guess I got to read my Bible, and I love the Word of God. Does that make sense? They are not snowed by our religious trappings when it is not, I love the Word of God. Or I love the people of God. Right? So... I said I just wanted to talk about parenting in the Spirit. I want you to just think that one of the greatest gifts of the gospel is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. All right, what that means is He is the one who can give you the key to unlock all kinds of doors. And if we really believe in the Holy Spirit as a person and what He does, we will learn to rely on Him and learn to walk and parent in the Spirit as we face challenges that we don't know how to face, to say, Holy Spirit, I need guidance here. I need wisdom here. And remember, people call the Holy Spirit the shy member of the Trinity. I think sometimes we think of Holy Spirit and we think of the spectacular. But very often the Holy Spirit has worked in my life when I just had an idea that I thought was my idea and it worked. And I think that was the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? A lot of the times He helps you, and you didn't realize it was Him helping you. But the more you can lean in to and hear from the Holy Spirit. So I just want to talk about some very straightforward biblical ways in which we can cultivate the Holy Spirit in our lives. Prayer should be obvious. One of Jesus' primary teachings on prayer in the Gospel of Luke is about asking your Father for the Holy Spirit, right? And when you, as a kid, ask your Father for a fish, He's not going to give you a cobra. When you ask Him for bread, He's not going to give you a rock. God is a good Father. He's better than the best father you know. And He gives His kids the things they need. And we need to have a great confidence in that. And we need to be aware when we move into, yeah, but I'm the exception. Repent of that. And say, God, I need your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit right now for this situation. Pray for the Holy Spirit in your life to give you wisdom as a parent. Pray for the Holy Spirit on every member of your family. Paul says the Holy Spirit is the bond of peace. Right? The reality for Christians, whether they feel it or are living out of it, is that we are all united by the Spirit. And that we're called to live into that unity. So we pray for the Holy Spirit in us. We pray for the Holy Spirit in our kids. So one is prayer. Another way we cultivate the Holy Spirit in our lives is through the Word. The Word is called the sword of the Spirit. All right? And that image should take us to all kinds of places in Scripture. A sword's not exactly a friendly thing. Okay? And you don't get the right to wield the sword of the Spirit until it's been wielded on you. Right? But when we allow the Word to speak to us, the Holy Spirit, we become more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Word to read us, right? And find ourselves in the story and say, man, I'm acting like this person. When we have the Word of God richly dwelling in us, we have the Holy Spirit richly dwelling in us. Okay, so you want to be Pentecostal? Read the Bible more. You know, you want to be Spirit-filled? Get in the Word more. And interact with it more. And again, realize that every time you come to the Word of God, you're coming to the Lord Jesus with the sword in His hand. He loves you. He's going to cut away. He's going to cut away the flesh. But it's not a plaything. Amen? It exposes motives. It gets right to the heart of situations in ways that 5 hours of conversation won't do. Right? If we let it. And this is, I need to be in it, and I need to keep my family in it. Again, this wonderful thing about the Word of God, it's almost like radiation. You know, Marie Curie's papers and her desks and all that, they still have radiation, like now. They have to keep them in, I don't know, whatever you keep them in to keep radiation from getting out. I really do believe the Word of God, if we just keep it around our lives, and I don't mean sitting on the table, right? But I mean, we read it to one another, we memorize it, it's just all over the place. I really do think it's almost like radiation. Okay, it will work on us as long as we're not just plugging up the ears of our heart, right? So the more we can get the Word, I think it makes us more spiritual people and more spiritual parents. All right, a third way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, speaking to one another. Now, this is really important. The Spirit inspired the Bible. And keep in mind, I think it's helpful to think about how the Spirit inspired the Bible. I don't think every biblical writer had a sort of skywriting and were transcribing what they saw. Okay? I really believe when Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians, he prayed for them and then he wrote a letter. And God took that up and said, he's right. Stamp. Does that make sense? Some of the Bible writers did have clear messages, but some were doing what they thought was God's work and the best wisdom they had. And it turned out the Spirit was in that and affirmed that. So the way that inspiration works, it works in all kinds of ways. Okay, sometimes we notice it, sometimes we don't. But the point is, the Spirit loves speech. The Spirit loves language. He loves communication. All right, He is the one that makes communication possible. And by making communication possible, I mean every species of communication. A greeting can be something that the Holy Spirit inspires and uses, right? Otherwise, Paul wouldn't say things like greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, Paul didn't think those were incidental things. A rebuke can be a Spirit-led and inspired thing. An encouragement can be a Spirit-led and inspired thing. So I would just encourage you to think that the Holy Spirit is deeply interested in me and my wife learning to communicate. Okay? Biblical counselors the world over will tell you communication is one of the biggest issues in marriage. How many people can say yay and amen? The more spiritual we are, the better we will be able to cooperate with the Spirit getting us on the same page. Right? So I would ask you to be someone who prays and believes in the Holy Spirit really specifically helping your communication. Rebuke, instruction, encouragement, dialogue. Okay, all of this has the Holy Spirit or can have the Holy Spirit all over it. Now, contrary to that, I want to also encourage us that a lot of the times, a couple scriptures. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Does anybody know the rest of the scripture? What? It does say that, but in a more specific way.
So that your prayers will not be hindered.
So that your prayers will not be hindered. So y'all follow that out. Husbands, if you don't dwell with your wives according to knowledge, guess what? Your prayers will be hindered. The help that you could get from God will be hindered. There's things you can do, in other words, to grieve the Holy Spirit. All right, and I want to refer us to a scripture in that regard. Ephesians 4. Now, I would just suggest if you read Ephesians 4, a lot of it has to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it's all about our communication. But let me just zero in on one passage in particular, starting in 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Now, by the way, I don't think corrupting talk is just maybe bad words. Okay, it's everything that might harm relationship. And that's a big category. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, verse 29 and verse 30 are not separate principles, they're the same principle. Our talk can grieve the Spirit. And actually, this is one of the... There's not a lot of places in Scripture that talk about grieving the Spirit. But our words, our talk, the way we communicate to one another can grieve the Spirit and hinder us from being able to get the help from the Holy Spirit that will help us to build up rather than tear down. And I think everybody in here can stop for 30 seconds and think about things that you have said that have been corrupting talk. Okay? Do you know what I mean? I mean, C.S. Lewis talks about being able to, I can't remember how he puts it, but he says, you can make a statement that is absolutely true on paper, but you know it is like a punch in the nose. Does everybody know what I mean? We can make a statement to our spouse that it's true, it's defendable, it's logical, but it is corrupting speech. It hurts, it wounds, it insults, it whatever. The Scripture says when we do that, we grieve the Holy Spirit, and I believe we cut ourselves off from the grace that He wants to give us to have Spirit-led parenting, Spirit-led husbanding and wifing. Does that make sense? And so, you know, sometimes we bang our heads against the wall in our parenting, and sometimes there's a very big block, and it's us and our speech. And the wonderful thing about God is you go, you know what? I am so sorry. That is so hurtful. Will you forgive me? And then God forgives you and you move on and you get grace. Does that make sense? And remember, grace is help to do what you need to do. That's what grace is. And we need to be parents. Okay, just a few more things. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit you need as a parent. You know, go through that list. There's lots of ways to read these things. You can just think, do I have these things? But then think, do I have patience, peace as a parent, understanding as a parent? Okay? The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that the Spirit wants to work into your lives are those qualities. And think about how spectacular those qualities would be in parenting. You know, if I have peace and understanding as a parent, how many times do you just want understanding as a parent? But if you have understanding as a parent, man, how empowering would that be to do the things you need to do? Just a few more things, and then we'll circle up. I think we should always ask, you know, we shared this in the sermon last week about David asking God to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel. I want to be someone who's constantly praying for very particular things. I was blessed. As we were leaving last night, Virginia drove us home, and she had this weird pause. I was like, "What is something the matter? What's going on?" She said, "No, I was just praying. I pray every time I start driving." I was like, "Wow, I probably should have done that as a teenager." It explains a lot. But does that make sense? Pray. I mean, you have a problem area, man. You need to pray on that. God, would you please give me specific wisdom in this issue with my child's heart? And how I relate to it. I don't know what to do in this area. I think where... Now, let me... I do want to circle up, and I do want us to brainstorm particular questions. But a lot of the times, I think we need to realize we're looking for a technique. But if we'll ask for the Holy Spirit's help, He'll give us wisdom, and it's a relational thing that'll help, that'll work. A technique is impersonal. Right? I've always used this as an illustration a couple years back, and you can probably turn on AM radio right now and find it. You sick of your kid's behavior? Does your kid complain? Blah, 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 blah. I got 5 guaranteed techniques that'll get your kid's behavior. That is treating your kid, your adult kid, like a dog. Do you know what I mean? It's behavior modification. Behavior modification is for young children, but it's not for adults in relationship. Right? Try that on your spouse. Try behavior modification on your spouse. Let me use this technique of flattery to get you to do what I want you to do. That's not relationship. But the Holy Spirit will give us particular guidance for relationship. And 9 times out of 10, it's something to do with our heart. Right? 9 times out of 10, it's something. But at other times, it's helping them see something in them. And when it comes from the Holy Spirit, it is usually far more engracing than when it comes from my frustration. Right? When it comes from wisdom from the Holy Spirit, it brings grace to its hearers rather than condemnation to its hearers. And that's a good way to think about your words, is do my words typically bring hope or do they bring despair? And that's where we need the Holy Spirit's help. All right, the last thing, and this is an intangible, but I think it's a good intangible to think about, and I think it's related to the Holy Spirit, and that is, what is the atmosphere of your home? And maybe your friends can think about it, maybe you can just, you can step back and think about it, but if a fly was on the wall of your home, what's the atmosphere there? Is it one of bitterness? Is it one of rivalry? Is it one of fear? Or is it one of joy and celebration, gratitude? I think those are things that the Holy Spirit can give us wisdom. I mean, again, when the Word is in our families, when gratitude is in our families, that changes the atmosphere. But our kids, how many people know what I'm talking about? Growing up, maybe you go visit a friend's house and the atmosphere there was just like, I mean, sometimes you go over to a friend's house and you're like, oh, I wish this was my family. Or sometimes you're like, man, there's like a cloud. I think those are things worth thinking about that can just kind of give us a measure. And again, none of that is meant to make you go, oh, I'm despairing. But there's things that God gives us to do that can change the atmosphere of our home. And I think atmosphere and background does a lot in shaping our kids. I'm aware of things that have been in our home in terms of atmosphere that have brought fear in my kids. And that's on me. And, I've tried to figure those things out. Okay, any questions before we circle up? That was 22.